All right, I'm glad to hear that. I really don't believe I've been on their repeaters before. Maybe occasionally.
On copiers, you know, they're the same pretty much as printers. I have this Lexmark. They got a deal on it years ago in a corporate training department. It's called a C534D. It's a nice, you know. And the fuser is easy to take out. You just open up the top cover and the bottom cover, and it's got these two, like, screws, and it pops up on the top. So if you got an error, like, 1/4, Lexmark's got their service code error. So that means, like, service motor or something. So look it up in the manual, and it says check this sensor or whatever. I do that, don't work. And then it's giving me another error dealing with the motor or something like that. And it said it could be the fuser. So I have another one down the hallway, same exact model. I swapped out the fuser, and it actually started working. I put the original fuser back, and it started working again. But I think it's an intermittent problem. So I know I have to get the fuser replaced, and that's really simple. Just get the part and just swap it out.
The best way, if you have a donor machine and you can try other things, when it, you know, because sometimes it could be several things. And it might have possibly been just the fuser pops in and out. It probably has a connector that might have just gotten a little oxidation on the connections or lost contact.
Popped the fuser out when it was having the problem, but it didn't work. But putting the other ones on tricked it, but it might go out again, you know. It's funny, what we do at the college, we will buy a whole printer, say the Lexmark T644 printer, and they'll use it for parts. Like I've had one model, like I think one model where, I think it's the low, is it the low voltage or the high? It's, yeah, the low voltage, it's the one, you know, to turn it on. And all you do is you take the side cover off on the specific model, and it's on a rail, and it slides, and it plugs into the board. And I just would take from, it failed several times. I replaced high voltage power supplies also in these machines. But I'll tell you, the problem was with these, I'm sure even with the copies you work on, they got NVRAM in it. So you can't swap out like boards anymore. You cannot do that at all. So you have to get a new board, and you better make sure it's that board, because once you put it in, you own it. That's it.
Yeah, when you open the package, you're done. I mean, some boards have little IC chips you can swap over with them. You know, some printers and copiers use ancient RAM, which is drives you crazy, or specialized.
The printer is called a 900.57 RIP error, which means pretty much they want a print job and it can't handle the memory, and which you have to do, sometimes you have to disconnect it from the network, clear it in the computer it's sending it to, and then you get it to work again. Always just happens.
Yeah, I have a lot of cases where the copiers can't handle some files. You know, they'll just think they're corrupted. It'll lock everything up. That happens too, even in faxes.
Make a red on now, so there's no turn on red then, because we're going to get a green arrow after this. Yeah, so. So, you know, I fix them, and I cringe when I have to work on printers, because sometimes they get really nit. That's why they bought, the college just makes sure people buy them with an extended warranty. So if it's something really involved, Lexmark comes and fixes it, and that's it.
Well, if they can get it, it's well worth it, because Lexmark can be tricky. And I've had machines where I've had to strip them almost to the frame to replace some motor. I mean, it's really an archaic setup on some of them, the multifunction ones. I had to tear one completely down to the frame to get to this one motor.
Lexmark models I have, it would be like it would be a fan, what it's called. It was the cartridge fan. It's a fan that's on the cartridge. It's on the right side. So to replace, the wire goes all the way across underneath the frame to the board. And I would have to take to do it properly, you would have to take the top cover off so you can get to the printer and run underneath. You know what I did? The last time I had a problem with a printer like that, I said, the heck with this. I found another path and I just ran the wire for it. It used like a hanger or a snake. But then I noticed one of the printers had to get fixed by Lexmark. It was covered under warranty. And it was the same thing. It was the cartridge fan. Well, Lexmark realized there was an issue with that, and they changed the design. When the guy took the cartridge fan out, there was a connector right on the right side that connected to that wire that went to the board. And they realized that, you know, in the next model, to change that design. And I said, wow, that was easy, because they made it less difficult.
ADQKH. Yeah, sometimes they realize what's going on, and then they make modifications, and sometimes when I run into a situation like that, I'll just clip the wires and splice them. Not a big deal.
Actually, when that happened, I could have just cut the wire. It's not a high voltage, and I could have just got electrical tape. I could have stripped it. I guess I could have done it that way.
Absolutely. The odds of something being wrong with your furnace wire, maybe it's just a two-conductor wire or something, or even three, it's not a big deal.
Good morning, WHCDL.
Morning, Andy. Pick it up. You got that on, so you can hand it up.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'm listening in. Matt, got a question. Where do you work? You work at the college?
Suffolk County Community College. I work at the Brentwood campus. My supervisor is at that main campus, Ammerman in Sullivan, but I'm considered, like, really to work out of Sullivan. I'm just assigned there. Yeah, I've been working there. I'm in my 14th year now.
Do they have, is that where they have the studios for, where they make movies and films? In other words, I have a friend who works, I believe, at the same location. He does all the repairs and all the video equipment, all the cameras and all the studio monitors and the whole thing. It's a pretty large facility, he was telling me. Is that where you work, that location?
This department, and a woman, Victoria, she does all the photography. She's got a big, like, giant room, you know, in the new building, the Learning Resource Center. I don't know if it does that. It might be at the main camp. What's the guy's name?
His name is Joe, J-O-E. I'll just give you the first name. Do you know any Joes who works in video repairing?
He works at the main campus, that's what I think. But he might be, it sounds like he'd be in the Media Services Department, which would be over in the Huntington Library. I think it's in the Huntington Library. That's the library on the main campus.
I'm not sure he's at the main campus. Okay. I was just wondering, I would think that you would know him. This is Suffolk Community College you're talking about, right?
The guy Joe I work with, he's in a networking department, but he just runs network wiring. You know, like, he'll just run the wires and terminate it and all of that.
Okay. There's probably a lot of Joes working there. I just thought I'd mention it because we're at the same, at least the same place, for the same place. Okay. All right, give it back. I'll give it to you to give it back to Charlie. How you doing?
Damn, I can go on, when I get to work, I could go on, I could probably look and find the Media Services Department's website within the library at Ammerman. Maybe we can find who the guy is, narrow it down that way, you know. So, yeah, Charlie's top is, and I work on laser training, they're very similar, so I tell Charlie my war stories with them, you know. Yeah, Charlie, some of these printers, I get really aggravated with them. I feel like taking them to the library and using them as a target. That's what I feel about them sometimes.
KD2KNH, yes, I know exactly what you mean. They can be frustrating. Yeah, fortunately, I only work on about 10%, 20% printers to my copiers. And you guys are both cutting in and out. I'm up in Miller Place, so I guess I'm in a bad area. But I'm going to say 70 degrees to both. I'm just about to my first call. KD2KNH clear. Have a good day, guys. 73.
Okay, yeah, it's the repeater. All right, Charlie, thanks. I'll talk to you soon. It'll be great to see you.
Andy, I'm on the Easter repeater. I mean, I'm coming into Comac now, you know. I get on the Sunken Motor Parkway and I get up at Crooked Road in Brentwood. When I get down there, I drop out. I might have to switch to 8.5, but at this point on my trip, I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, you sound fine. No, the dropout is occurring at stand by, I got a phone call. All right, I'm back. WHCDO.
Andy, where are you at? What's your QTH?
I'm home. I'm in West Hempstead.
Yeah. Do you live off like head Hempstead Turnpike, around there, or somewhere else?
Well, did you ask me a question, what did you just say?
Like around off Hempstead. When I think of Hempstead, I mean there's other parts of Hempstead, but do you live off like Hempstead Turnpike?
Well, Hempstead Turnpike is goes pretty far. So I'm not far from it, but it goes through Hempstead.
Take it now, but I'm going to take it when it comes up again. I'm going to go to Hofstra probably this year sometime. They're offering a class in CCNA, the continuing ed, and it's on Oak Street. It's like in a building over there. So if I go, I guess I could take Meadowbrook, but I'm going to class. I had my interest in the CCNA certification, so I'm going to go for that.
Okay, what's CCNA?
Certified Network Administrator. And there's two courses and for the Cisco exam. And you work on like the network switches and the routers. You configure them you can do it through like command prompt type language or whatever. But you also, put them in the racks and do all of that. And that's runs, all your networks.
Okay, good. Yeah, that sounds like fun. So, all right, because I knew that you worked at the school, and I didn't realize that's the same place, same school that the guy that I know works also. repairs all the electronics that they have, sort of like an AV guy, audio-visual, and technician, works on all the audio equipment, all the cameras, and video monitors and computers, and he does all that stuff. He says he has a pretty big lab with a lot of test equipment and parts. They have tons of parts. Goes back years.
He might walk even in, we have a broadcasting major out there. It's in the Riverhead Technology Building. Unless he's working in there, I don't know. Or he's doing the stuff that has to do with they make the videos for the college. Because there was a lady I worked in media services on my campus. She left, and she teaches in the broadcasting degree program now. But she used to, I used to be in her office working on a computer. She had all Apple equipment, and she made videos, stuff with the college, and she'd be sitting there editing it. And there's a lot of Apple stuff for all of that.
Yeah, he does broadcasting equipment as well, so maybe he works over there.
His name is Gail, and he might work with her. She teaches that in that program now, so he might work with her closely.
Okay, I'm not sure. I've never been there, just that, I just know that he works there. That's why I'm mentioning it.
We are different in our own way. Like Brentwood is pretty flat. The campus, we get lightning, man. It does its damage sometimes. Ammerman campus is hilly. It was actually the campus building. It was actually a place for TV back in the 40s. That's what it was originally. And they purchased it and they built the campus in 59, or started it. So. The campus has gotten a new building. They put up a new science building. His name is after Lindsay. He was William Lindsay. He was a legislator. He was an advocate for the college. My campus put up a new building. guess it's the second year it's open, you know, for the fall semester. Oh no, spring semester, what am I saying? But since this fall, this fall was a year that it opened. So it's open less than a year and a half. It's called a Learning Resource Center. It's a big giant glass, I call it a fishbowl. It's all glass, and they got these sheets that come down automatically and in the afternoon when the sun is coming. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they want to block the sun from blinding people. Okay. All right. Well, you said you've been there, 13 years, so, yeah. I'm sure you know him. You've been there so long. He's been there at least that long. It's the actual year that he started. He's been there a while also. He's not new.
With community colleges, they got a thing called a Celsius program, which means if you qualify, you can go to New York State schools now for free. And our enrollment's down this semester, and I think it's down because if a kid can go to New York State school, a lot of people go to South to get the grades, but if you get the grades, they might just jump right to a four-year school and go for the Celsius program. So we've lost enrollment. There's less kids graduating high school because the population's gone down. But our enrollment will go up when the economy, like we get a recession, people might go back to school for retraining or instead of going to college, would have to pay for room and board. So it's like inversely related. So, you know, if the economy gets tanked again with a recession, our enrollment will definitely go down. I mean, I was talking about this, I replaced the assistant chair of English, and he was canceling all these sections of English. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess, once you start working, you can expand. All right, I'm going to rest my voice because you can hear how I sound. I sound terrible. I sound worse than I feel. But I'm just overcoming some respiratory issues. So I'll talk to you next time, Matt. Thanks. I'll let you know what the guy's last name is. I don't want to mention it on the air, but you probably know him. See you later.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
KC1SAM, WHCDL, you listening, Sam?
KC1SAM, yeah, how you doing, Eddie?
In on the drone conversation. I guess you got a little knowledge on that with some of the, you know, the professional ones and stuff. But he didn't bring it up, so I don't know. He should have, but, you know, whatever. As far as his other problem, I tried on two different frequencies to hear him simplex. I could not. And he went to a different repeater, which he says he can hit. But it was coming in like he had just a couple of watts of power. It was really hard to understand. So he's got a power output problem. I didn't get a chance to ask him if the unit got very hot. I know it got very hot one night when we were talking, so maybe it burnt out the power transistor.
I don't know. He was describing this sort of Chinese radio, so I'm not familiar with it. So I have no idea what happened, but yeah, maybe something like you're mentioning. Okay, well, because I thought I heard, I was listening with like half an ear because I was watching the game, and I thought I heard Richie and Tuio talk about something with phones or something. I'm not sure exactly what, but then later on, I heard the Rich BZ on. I guess he wanted some advice or something.
Well, the conversation started that N2EO had made a comment about he wanted opinions. He's thinking of getting his kid. He's going to be 8 years old in March, about getting him a drone. And quite a few people had comments to say about it. You know, a $300 to $500 drone for an 8-year-old kid versus, you know. BZ put in that there's like $35 ones, which might be a better first gift. So he was one of the people had input on that conversation. That was about it. That's where the drone thing came in from.
Oh, okay. Hold on, let me reset. Okay, yeah. Wow, and eight years old. That's quite young. I think there's an age. I think there's an age, not limit, minimum. I think there's a minimum age. I thought I read that somewhere for operating a drone because of responsibility of what can happen. So I don't think 8 years old is high enough in age. I know somebody was talking about that a while back. So I don't think that's a good idea for an 8 year old for a drone. Anyway, that's my opinion.
I believe that was a general consensus, with the exception there's some small ones you can fly indoors to get experience and stuff. But even that's kind of young, but, you know, my sole experience with a drone is flying those lines over these trees. And, well, it worked, but it was watching it go up and watching it come down. I did not have a lot of experience in flying one, so I had very limited experience. I did not make any comments. Yeah, anyway, Rich seemed to be pretty, WBZ seemed to be very familiar with him, too, as well as someone else that came in who flies them. Two or three guys, I guess, that fly them. So there was some good input there, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's, I forgot his call. Well, one of the guys that comes on UHF, yeah, he has a Phantom. I think the Phantom 2 on the internet. And I remember seeing, you could go to his, I think, QRZ page, and you'll see how it flies. So, and it goes pretty high, a couple of hundred feet. But then again, you know, I don't know what the limitations are because I'm not familiar with the rules. But I do know that I believe for something like that, a drone like that, you need a permit for, which you gotta take a test. So they, you know, they just don't want people flying those things anywhere because there are restrictions. And the problem is now more and more drones are being spotted by commercial and non-commercial planes that are not in the airspace they're supposed to be in. No, I said it backwards. Or in the airspace they're not supposed to be, of course. So that's an issue. I just saw that on the news last week.
Casey, when I say, yeah, there's been some incidences at Teterboro and at Kennedy, and I'm sure other ones around the country. You know, somebody thinks it's cute, I'm going to fly over there. Oh, they go way up in price. Oh, the one I used was $300. I guess it was a decent one. But my friend that I mentioned in California, he's got at least one, and I think two, that are about $1,500. Now, he lives in a wide-open area, and he goes to the coast a lot. So he flies them around there. I think he can give them a route and just let them go when they fly on their own, you know, way out in the ocean, using GPS, well, you would lose signal, but it's following a GPS signal, so then it loops around, takes pictures, comes back, stuff like that. He's really, really into them. I tell him he comes back for a visit, bring a drone, he can fly some more lines over the trees for me. But I'm pretty much done with that. I got what I need. But they go way up in price, so. Anyway, yeah, you know. I didn't have any comments on it. I was listening. That guy who you mentioned with the videos, he was on there, I think, too. Dick mentioned him, and he was listening. He came in for a few comments, but we couldn't hear him too well.
Yeah, it's KC2YSK. Who's got it? He mentioned it before. And, yeah, talk about prices. You've heard of B&H Photo in the city. I have their catalog. They have a drone that they're selling for $6,000. And you heard me right, $6,000. But this drone can lift a payload of more than 20 pounds. So it's a very rugged, expensive drone. You know, that's designed to lift a lot of weight. But that's what it goes for. If you want to spend that kind of money. It's right in the catalog.
No, actually I don't. Unless I attach any antenna to it and let it hold it up in the airflow, huh? Get it up about 300 feet. And as long as it's flying, I can talk. Yeah, well, BZ mentioned that since he was in the television business, or movies, that they use in this movies, I guess. They have some tremendous professional ones that are doing the job that helicopters used to do in the past. I mean, just a matter of time, they're going to be scaled up like that, you know what I mean? So, hey, cheaper than hiring a pilot in a helicopter in the long run. So, yeah. Oh, well, anyway, I don't have one. I quickly discovered that I was not a great pilot. Like they said, it takes time to learn how to do it, and I just had to fly up, over, and then down. And so it worked for me. I probably could have used a cheaper one, but I had no experience. Anyway, yeah, your voice sounds a little off still. It actually sounds worse, a little scratchier. But you said you're feeling better, so that's a good thing.
WHCDL, yeah, well, I don't feel sick. Which is a good thing. I gotta go to work this week, but I'm not going today. So, I'm not coughing anymore. At least not much. So it's a good thing. Just that my voice sounds terrible. All right. Well, at the Air Fest, it was 2 years ago. Somebody bought a drone that was being sold by a vendor, you know, just someone just selling stuff, and the guy decided to fly it right there, and he lost control of it. Apparently he didn't have the experience, or the battery wasn't charged, I forget exactly what, but somehow he lost control of the drone, and it flew out of the fairgrounds, and over the fairgrounds is surrounded by a fence. So the drone was on the other side of the fence, and there's a highway there. And it started coming down onto the highway. And sure enough, it landed on a car that was just driving on the highway adjacent to the fairgrounds. We heard the crash of the drone hitting the car. I don't know exactly what happened to the car, but we were hoping that, you know, it didn't do any damage to the car, break the guy's windshield, or what happened. Maybe the guy lost control, I don't know, of the car. But it turned out that they ran frantically and got to the other side of the fence, and they found the drone in pieces as it smashed into the car. The car was nowhere to be found, so I guess the guy in the car maybe was okay. But that was scary because it just came down on it.
Repeater, time out.
All right, let me get the beep back. Stand by. All right, so that's what happened. And I'm just thinking that maybe the batteries weren't charged totally, and as it lost voltage, as the voltage dropped, you lost control of it, something. But, it could be dangerous, especially with what happened over there. And we were a witness to it. We were watching the whole thing. We were watching it fly, and then all of a sudden it started coming down on its own.
What goes up must come down. Wow. Yeah, I would have ran frantically too. I'm not going to tell you what direction. Wow. Well, you know, I had the odds of it hitting the windshield are slim, odds of it hitting somewhere in the car, yeah. And then if it lands in the road after that, well, guess what? It's going to get run over. So, oh, well. Yeah, I guess they take some experience. I thought he had several of them out there. And he lost a couple. Never to be seen again. So he ended up getting ones with the automatic return feature and GPS, and I forget some of the features there. They even have them where you can you can set it and it'll follow you. You can go for a walk or a hike and it'll follow you. It'll avoid branches. All kinds of stuff like that, you know. So I get one to go get my mail. Anyway, I guess it's quite a novel toy. Some people are really taken with them. Luckily, I'm not.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a guy who was killed by one a number of years ago. Apparently, he was trying to land it, and it was coming towards him, and to land, and apparently one of the blades hit him, and he was killed. I don't know if it was in the paper. It was definitely on the news. That was a number of years ago. I don't know if you heard about that one.
Casey, when I say, no, I didn't hear that story. I could see it, you know, one of those blades combined, nick you in the throat. I think it's all over at that point. So, yeah, all too bad. Because, you know, they're exposed. Not like you have any. The little cheapy ones have shields around the blades. I've seen them in the store. But the one like I had did not, and the big ones don't. And they got some power in them. They're going to stop just because they hit a little bit of skin. They're going to probably get spin around once or twice. Nice deep cut, and that's it. It's over. But if it's in your throat, you know. Anyway, that's about it. That's all I know on that subject. So, Richard, come on with his screwdriver. That would have been a good discussion to hear Dick talk about. Maybe next week. If I talk to him, I'll try to talk him into bringing it up next week.
Yeah, well, Dick started out, I think, talking about that discussion of coax of cables going into an antenna, the feed point impedance, all that stuff. But I'm not an expert. I'm just using common sense, which is what I said. But sometimes there's a thing called opposite of common sense also. All right, anyway. And by the way, I never flew a drone, so I have no experience. If I were to start off, I would get something small. Microcenter sells, I've seen them in the Microcenter over here. It's at the computer store. I've seen them as cheap as $30 for a small little, it's a toy drone, but it works. So that would be my speed to start off. All right, I'm going to rest my voice. I'll talk to you later.
Casey, when I say I'm... Yeah, you're right. I remember last night when Rich came on, he started talking, made me think that he was listening to the conversation because it was very relevant to what we were talking about. Very relevant. So he probably heard the conversation and, had those comments on it. So, all right, I'll let you go rest, but be the best thing. Maybe some tea or lemon or something. I don't know. Whatever you like that's warm. Probably make it soothe it a little bit. So anyway, Casey, when I say I'll be clear. Good chatting with you, Andy. I'll catch you later.
Yeah, I'll be out on the road. I got to do some shopping today, so even though I sound terrible, but I'm not that bad. Okay. Talk to you later, WHCDO.
tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system. Tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the WQVL repeater.
Tank is buried, I don't know if it was 550 gallons tank or whatever it was.
So now I'm getting ready to leave to go to the pool, and here comes the fuel delivery truck. It pulls up, and I said, well, I'll help you find the fill. It was in the ground in the front. Well, we couldn't find it. I'm out there with the snow shovel. So he leaves. So I'm thinking I'm going to run out of fuel. I'll come back tomorrow, which he did. It took me a long time to find the darn fill, even though I knew where it was. I couldn't find it.
Well, our tank is in the basement. It's a 275-gallon tank, and the fill is on the side of the house. Never has trouble.
Hey, so the moral of the story is lots of luck trying to find it with 2 feet of snow. It's better off on the side. At least you know for sure where it is. You'll find it right away.
That's right. See, we're not going to go to gas. I don't even know if there's gas in the street. If there is, it would cost a lot of money to bring it into the house.
Well, that's correct. I forgot how much I paid. It was a long time ago. And it was a messy, filthy job. All the construction that they had to do. In some places, you don't have gas, so you can't even get the gas.
Well, I don't know if anybody here has gas. In which case, we'd have to agree to put it in and get the National Grid to do it. It's very expensive.
I know. But other than that, I'm heading home. Almost there. I went to the gym this morning.
Were you in a heated swimming pool this morning?
No, I went to the gym this morning. Tomorrow, the pool. It's heated. Sometimes it's a little chilly. And sometimes it's a little warmer. I like it warm. Sometimes it's too warm. I guess it's a hard thing to regulate the temperature.
I suppose. I got up early about 9 o'clock. You know, Jeremy, as Patty's son, he orders me food. It's a website called Uber Eats, U-B-E-R. I know nothing about it, maybe you do. But he got me 2 sausage McMuffins, coffee, and orange juice. Very kind to me.
I'm glad to hear that. Takes care of you. My neighbor orders food on a computer, and I forget the name of the company. It's a big truck that comes every once in a while to bring in boxes and boxes of food.
Well, Uber Eats deals in small things. They bought me a McDonald's this morning. That's wonderful. Me and Charlie and Patty, we all take care of each other. And that's the way it should be.
Well, I like to hear that. That's good news. All right, I wish you a good day. I'm going to sign. I'm almost at home. Glad the sun is out. Glad it's warm and things are looking up. And to that, you still listening up.
Okay, Ron. Have a good day. I'll try and do the same. And to that, you see. And to you.
Well, I'm not much of a songwriter, but when I'm...
Were you still there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm still here for a couple of seconds, Rich. I'm just getting ready to pull in where I'm having lunch.
Okay, I was on the phone. That's why I didn't come right back. How are you?
Doing fairly good. Something that might pique your interest a little bit. I just picked up an old Hallicrafter's S53A receiver on eBay.
Okay, that's good. Wonder what you paid. Really cool. What was I going to say? I'm waiting for a Microsoft keyboard and mouse wireless. I ordered it from Microcenter. So I'm totally happy with their stuff.
Yeah, they're a pretty good place to do business with. And as far as the receiver is concerned, $46.01.
That's good.
Yeah, that'll need a little bit of work. All right, take care. I'll talk to you perhaps later during the week, Rich. I'm just going to go in and grab my lunch real quick. 73W2OSR.
Okay, Bob. See you later. And to Rio.
Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
You mobile.
KD2FIU, KD2OZB, how are you, George?
Right, Craig. I'm in a beautiful park on a beautiful afternoon to do some, I don't know, unnecessary shopping. Yeah, it is necessary, but I just don't want to do it. I don't want to be in the stores. I'd rather be in the park on a beautiful afternoon.
I stepped out onto my back porch. It felt like in the 50s.
Showing me 53 on the dash here right now.
Don't celebrate, because it won't be like that for long. It'll be back down to the 40s or 30s. But hey, we're about two-thirds of the way through winter.
I was thinking about that this morning. let me see, about 5 weeks to St. Patrick's Day. And that's generally, when that celebration is going on, that's generally the market that tells me, okay, all right, winter's going to be gone.
Oh, you seem confident.
Last year we had cold weather through April. As a matter of fact, into the very end of April. But one of the meteorologists I was listening to a couple of days ago said we should not have that this year. It's going to moderate a little early. However, the end of February might be a little brutal.
One thing for sure, let's keep our fingers crossed and pray for no blizzards and no snowstorms.
Yeah, let's get the antennas up early this year.
You betcha. Soon I'll actually be throwing my HF antenna back in the mobile. And after that shortly, hopefully my HF rig. That is if everything is done correctly.
B2FIU mobile. Yeah, and Craig, what are you going to be using for an HF antenna in the mobile?
Well, I got three HF antennas and one 4-foot Firefly CB6. One of them is a shortened FM 10-meter stick. It's about 4 foot. And the other two are 8-footers that are 20 and 40 meters. The 40-meter is only 7 foot because I accidentally over-tightened one of the screws and it's permanently stuck at 7 foot from the steel whip end. But it doesn't really matter to me because I've always got the other one.
Drill that out if you want to get to it. Let me see. I'm parking. I gotta let go of the mic. B2FIU mobile.
Alright, I'll be here.
KD2OGB, KD2FIU. A lot of noise.
That's just under my basement. Normally everybody else is able to hear me usually just fine in the basement, but when I was talking to Charlie in 8 before over on Taconic, I was up in my room actually because you couldn't hear me very well in the basement.
Okay, I'm at my first stop and it's in an area I should be returning in about 10 minutes. Anyhow, I want to look into the Hustler mobile resonator and HF antenna system. And Andy says he's working that from the mobile. I want to look that one up and see what it's all about. Not that I'm saying I'm going to get it, but it's just something I want to look into. KD2FIU in the mobile.
Do what you got to do. I'm gonna sort of monitor. I gotta take care of a few things. I'll be back in a little bit.
Very good. Thanks for picking me up. KD2FIU in a mobile is clear.
Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
Mobile is listening on each line.
Trying to move stuff from my external card to the computer. However, I